Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery. The Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, Jim Thorne.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. Jim Thorne here with you tonight on this Masters Sunday. Congratulations to Patrick Reed for winning the Masters. And it was a great tournament, even though Tiger didn't quite pan out this week. It was still fun to watch. We are with you here on Sunday, April 8th, 2018. And behind the bulletproof glass, large and in charge, is our own Norm Plourd. Hi, Norm.
Good evening, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Have you had a chance to get out and wet the line between opening day and now?
No, I was in Ohio.
In Ohio.
And it wasn't any warmer there.
No, I haven't either. I'm still checking my gear, that's right. You know, tying flies and checking my lines and seeing the reels. And you got Jim Layton over there beside you.
Well, good evening, folks. Pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee or whatever. It's going to be a great show. And I haven't been fishing either, but I've been watching some of the eagles trying to fish.
Is the ice getting dark out there at all?
Yes, it's kind of frosty looking, and we have a lot of open water on the inlet and the outlet.
Yeah.
Down the side of the pond, I think by the 15th. That's my prediction, that Fields Pond will be out.
Well, there. You heard it here first.
You did.
Jim Layton says the 15th. That's not that far away. Usually
no, it's not.
It's next Sunday.
The 15th is when I say peepers are out. That's my gauge down in this area.
Yeah.
So I think it's looking pretty good. I think the weather's supposed to warm up to maybe 50-something degrees this week. So
2 days. 2 days.
That will help. Sure we get those will. Warm nights. That's what helps.
Hmm.
Well, we are here with our special guest tonight. If you are a lover of the North Country, you will enjoy our guest tonight. He comes to us, the superintendent of the Allegash Wilderness Waterway, Maine's own Matt LaRoche.
Thank
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Jim. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Well,
I haven't wet a line either, but I've been tying flies in earnest lately. I've been imagining where I'm going to fish these and what I'm going to catch on them. So
that's perfectly acceptable. As long as you're working on it, then that's all that matters this time of year. You don't want to get out there and ice up your eyelets anyway. So we are going to have a great show tonight. If you're listening to us in the greater Bangor area north, you're listening to us on 103.9 FM. And if you're listening to us in the greater central Maine area, it's 101.3 FM out of Augusta and AM 50 Rockland down on the coast.
1450.
And that's right, AM 1450. And our phone number here, if you would like to call in, if you have anything that you'd like to talk about, we don't have to be topical. We're pretty open. Or if you have a question for Matt LaRoche, as far as the Allegash Wilderness Waterway questions are concerned, feel free to call up and talk with us. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. And we also have our podcasts available for you on the internet on WVOMFM.com. And then click on the Maine Outdoors icon, and you can go back to the first of the year. It's a brand new website. So unfortunately, we lost everything before the first of the year, but they have everything from January on. So, and our own V. Paul Reynolds, we believe, speculation has it that. He will be back and large in charge in the studio here next weekend. That's rumor has it.
That's rumor.
He'll be the guy coming through the door all tanned up and smiling and, yeah, you know.
His boss says he'll be here.
Maybe walking gingerly around the last snowbanks we have here at the studio. So we're going to be looking for a good time. Well, hey, let's go to the Outdoor Digest. Tonight's Outdoor Digest is brought to you this week and every week by the Northwoods Sporting Journal and Maine Outdoor Publications.
Hunting, fishing, loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting, fishing, loving every day. Early in the morning, late in the evening, I'm getting red dirt rich and Flint River paid. Hunting, fishing, loving every day.
All right. Today's sunrise was 6:03 a.m. Sunset is at 7:11, and I look at the clock, and it's 7:11. Oh. The sun just set. Did you hear it?
Yes.
It just set. Length of day, 13 hours, 8 minutes. And the last full moon was on March 31st. And if you remember, we had kind of a crazy winter with full moons. We had two full moons in January, no full moon in February, and then two more full moons in March. So we had two blue moons, one in January and one in March. And the last one was called the SAP moon, S-A-P, I think for sap running. And that's normally not a popular recognized name of a full moon, but I think because this next full moon, April 29th, is the pink moon, and the one on the 1st of March was the worm moon. They had to slip another name in there, so they called it the sap moon, which I'm all for.
Wrong with that?
Give the maple syrup the recognition it deserves.
That's right. We're not talking about anybody. We're talking about syrup.
That's right. Well, we had a great sportsman show season. I was fortunate to be able to go to the Orono, the Presque Isle, the Augusta shows, and by all accounts, the fishing was the turnout was great. I wanted to talk about the fishing. At the Presque Isle show, they had fish from the Micmac hatchery that raises brook trout up there. They get their stock from the state of Maine, and boy, they had 12 to 14 inch fighters.
Nice.
And brought the grandkids by, and of course the guy there said, now have them hold on to the pole tight, because as soon as that worm hits the water, they're going to hit. And sure enough, my little granddaughter had a hold of that fishing pole. She put that down, and a 14-inch trout hit that, started splashing, got her all wet. Of course, she started crying. She's only 5 years old. But we got her down. It was fine. And my grandson, who was about 8 years old, he was right into it. He was like,
hey, I imagine.
Can we go again? Sure, yeah. Cam. We can go again. But anyway, it was a good time and good turnout all over. I don't know if you read, it looks like the end of an era for the VZ Salmon Club.
Yes.
Is in danger of going the way of the Atlantic salmon, as it were. I guess just not enough supporters, and they said that of the people that are there, I think they lost 5 last year due to, passed away and went on. And the VZ Salmon Club is one of 3 salmon clubs along the Penobscot River. The Penobscot Salmon Club and Brewer, which is, I believe, they're trying to convert into a Atlantic Salmon Museum, which is a great spot for it. So I hope they're able to do that. And the Eddington Salmon Club, so between those two. And let's see, the canoe racing season is in full paddle right now.
That's right.
I don't know when the Kenduskeag stream is coming up, but that's always a good time. They had the Sowadabscook, I believe, and the St. George River. And boy, they're out there. You just go look for canoe races in Maine and stand back and ready to copy. So, and let's see. Also want to remind everybody, coming up really quickly is the Skowhegan Moose Festival and Lottery is at the Skowhegan Fairgrounds this June 8th, 9th, and 10th. Mark your calendar. If you've ever gone to one or if you've never gone to one, definitely put that down as a must-attend. Plus, it's the Skowhegan Sesquicentennial 150th year celebration, so that should be a good time. They're having it at the fairgrounds. And if you'd like to be a sponsor or have a booth, go to skowhegan moosefest.com. All right, well, let's have a trivia question. Tonight's trivia question is good for a copy of the Maine Antler and Skull Trophy Club yearbook. This is their annual big game records publication, their latest one, which is the 2015-2016 season. And I hold in my hand, yet to be read too heavily. Matt and I were going through, seeing if we recognized any names. Ours definitely
weren't
in there.
No, mine wasn't in there.
No, no. So maybe next year. But Matt, if you'd be so kind as to read our trivia question tonight, which has to do with the Allegash Wilderness Waterway.
Okay, for this fine booklet here for Maine Skull and Antler Trophy Publication, it's what first year was Maine with the dams at Lock and Telos built in the Allegash? Lock and Telos Dam, the year that they were first constructed.
All right. If you think you know the answer to that, give us a call, 1-800-966-1039. We'll be right back after these messages.
More Maine Outdoors next on 101.3 Augusta, 103.9 Bangor, AM 1450 Rockland, the voice of Maine.
And welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne, sitting here with Matt LaRoche, the superintendent of the Allegash Wilderness Waterway. And before we went on break, we asked the question, what year were Lock Dam and Telos Dam first constructed? And I understand we have a caller on the line.
We have a caller.
Hello, caller. Hello. Are you there?
Yes. Yeah, this is Mike from Howland.
How are things up in Howland, Mike?
Getting springy.
Yeah, springy is good.
Springy enough for me, yeah, but we're getting there.
Yeah, we are. I just came into the studio and heard the red-winged blackbirds all out back trying to get their position for the nesting area. So it was a good sound to hear after a very quiet winter.
Yeah, really. Nice.
Well, you heard the question. When were Lock Dam and Telos Dam first constructed?
I'm going to say 1920.
It was considerably earlier than that.
Well,
yeah,
that was a wild guess.
No, it was a good guess, but it may have been reconstructed at some point close to that. But we're looking for the first time that the dams were constructed along there. So,
okay.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and hang on, listen in, and maybe we can get a good answer for you.
Right.
All right, Mike.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yep.
All right.
Well, it was a lot earlier than that, Jim. That's just a hint out there.
Well, I said earlier, my clues get stronger and more directed as the night goes along. Hopefully we can get somebody who knows fairly quick so we can talk more about the Allegash Wilderness Waterway. That's one of the things I always tease Paul about. He always has these elaborate constructed trivia questions that I said I usually try to get one that, you know, everybody, it's either cut and dry, yes or no, or somebody knows. So, all right, we have another caller on the line. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right, who do we have and where are you calling from?
This is Jason. I'm from Eddington.
All right, how are things in Eddington?
No, not too bad.
Ice
is starting to go out on Davis Pond, so.
All right, that's a good sign. Always good to hear. Take a paddle to the edge and see if you can break it up a little bit. Nobody will complain.
I'm gonna give it a whirl.
All right. Yeah, like they did up there at Long Lake. I think they actually went through and they were successful in making the world's largest ice carousel, weren't they?
Yes, I knew of one guy who drove up there to help out.
Yeah, they've been working on it all winter, and I think when the ice melted a little bit, it gave them the clearance they needed. So, well, all right, Jason, you think you know the answer to the trivia question?
I do. I'm going to say 1841.
All right. 1841. Matt is pumping his fist over there. I think we got a winner.
We do.
Oh, wonderful.
Congratulations. Now, did you know that, or did you have to research that briefly?
No, I had to research that. I was actually your previous caller there in the 1920s. I was kind of close to that, and I couldn't believe I was that far off, but
wow.
I did have to do a little research on that one.
Yeah, no, that is, and we're going to find out more once we kick you back to Norm and let him give you your address so we can mail you that Maine Antler and Skull Trophy Club book, courtesy of Matt Wentworth and Al Wentworth and Kyle Wentworth and Al Wentworth over there at the Maine Antler and Skull Trophy Club. Anything else going on, Jason, you want to talk about? Been out fishing yet?
No, I haven't. I'm kind of like I think everybody else on the show tonight, getting the flies ready and everything else. Just haven't had the time yet to get out there and do it.
Well, you can't invest too much time in getting your stuff ready before you go out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't want to go out half reeled. You know.
That's right.
We'll be prepared.
Sure, good to go.
All right. Well, you're correct. I'll let Norm talk with you. We'll get your address and we'll get that in there. Thanks for listening and congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Jason.
Good evening.
All right.
Before we move on, there's a gentleman who called up to let us know that Richard Arsenault, who was very active with Mastic, I guess he was around 78, 79, just passed away. So he just wanted people to be aware of that.
Yeah.
Apparently he did a lot for the organization.
Well, and I know that there are, going back many years to the history of it, there were a lot of scores and, people that were involved. And I know Al Wentworth and I see Kyle and all the guys. And we've had Toby and Roger on here before talking about Mastic. So if you would like your own copy of the Maine Antler and Skull Trophy Club booklet, you can call them. I'm going to give you a number here, 207-756-5469, if you would like to order your own. Or you can just go online, Mastic, M-A-S-T-C, 3, at gmail.com. Shoot them an email, and I'm sure they'll get back with you, or go on the website and send them an email. So good booklet, lots of good pictures, lots of good deer. You get to see the quality of the deer in Maine, so... And as I mentioned earlier, with me tonight is our guest all the way from the Allagash, Matt LaRoche. And what I want to do, Matt, is kind of start at the beginning with you. How did you get involved in the Allagash Wilderness Waterway, and how did you get involved with the Bureau of Parks and Lands?
Well, that was a long time ago, Jim. It was 1976 when I graduated from University of Maine. And I never even actually went to the graduation ceremony. I went right to work in the Allagash.
Wow.
And actually, I got a kind of a long story there about my supervisor, the guy who hired me, I have his job today. And he ended up being my father-in-law. When he was interviewing me, he said, it's not romantic up there in the Allagash, So he didn't know I was going to marry his daughter.
Wow.
So that's kind of a story. But I basically, 76, I got out of the Maine, went to work up there, and just get my diploma in the mail. And after 10 years or so, I had a daughter that was about ready to go to school, and I was talking to my wife. I said, "What are we going to do?" And an opportunity came up on the West Branch of the Penobscot.
Yeah.
And I ended up working there for like 20 years on the Chesuncook and Upper West Branch and Lower West Branch. And then about the time that my kids were growing up and moving away from home and going to college themselves, this opportunity came up on the Allagash. And I went there to be the superintendent. This has been the best job I've ever had in state government. This is a really good job. I mean, I got my own program. It's mine, and it's kind of – I got a pretty – that's what I've been doing my whole career, and I like to think I'm good at it by now after 40 years.
Wow.
So anyway, it's been fun up there.
Well, I can tell you I'm envious of you. I mean, as far as that lifestyle is concerned, I'm sure sometimes it's a little tough to be isolated like you are at – some stretches, but I know I see you around. I saw you at the Brewer
Cabin Fever Reliever,
and I'm sure you go to a lot of other events throughout the state and represent the Allagash Wilderness Waterway.
We get around quite a bit. It's always a lot of time behind the wheel because it's a long way from where the population is to go to something.
Now, how many under your directorship?
No, there's 12 of us.
Okay.
And that's our high watermark with the seasonal employees. And there's only 3 year-round ones, including me, and then another one that's kind of got a long season. So we're down to a pretty small crew in the wintertime.
Okay. And now how big is the Allegash Wilderness Waterway? Is there a square miles or acreage or something?
It's like 200,000, a little under 200,000 acres.
Okay.
That make up the waterway, and it's a 92 miles from the beginning to the end, and it's 100 miles to the town of Allegash, a little over 100 miles.
Yeah. Now I've been through the Allegash Wilderness Waterway. I haven't been like the trip, but I've passed the border, as it were, and I haven't actually taken the experience and done the canoe trip, although I know many that have and speak very highly of it. And it's a place that is unlike any other right now, probably in not just the United States, probably the largest expanse, undeveloped wilderness.
Well, there's some places out west, but it's certainly in the east, it's one of the premier wilderness areas. Baxter, yeah. The Allegash, I mean, those are the 2 big places in Maine. If you want to go to a wilderness area, those are the places.
Yeah, and I know we were talking a little earlier about Fields Pond, and the guys on the call in there, Jason was talking about the ice up there. What goes out first up there? Is it the headwaters?
Well, we don't, right, when the ice... There's not much going on right now. There'll be a few fishermen come, even though there's not much going. Right now, open water's at a premium. We're about at least 2 weeks behind, I think, where you are at Fields Pond. And so we got a ways to go before spring. We're guessing ice out will be around 4th or 5th. That's when it normally occurs.
Of May?
Of May.
Okay. Well, that works out pretty good with, we go up every year. Almost that far. We go up to Haymock, up mm-hmm. Mechanimac, oh, yeah. and fish in the end of June. And usually up there, things are still just about right, and you can still find some spots that have some snow that from the cutting. I always get a kick out of that, the old-fashioned ice with the sawdust. But you can buy some of those piles that have the sawdust where they cut the logs and look, and you can still see some snow underneath the sawdust.
Insulated, yeah.
Yeah, and those that aren't exposed to the south sun. But, yeah. Well, we were talking somewhat about the fishing, but we're going to talk more about it when we come back from this break.
All right.
We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the Maine Outdoors. I'm your host for the evening, Jim Thorne from the Northwoods Sporting Journal. And once again, if you would like to call in with any questions or any information that you would like, our number here is 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. Always like to hear from folks around the state and see how things are going in your part of the state. I know we broadcast and go up through to both sides of over in New Brunswick.
Oh, wow.
Go all the way up in through Aroostook County. Some of the southern Aroostook County places can listen. All the way up through some parts below Greenville. I don't know if you get it up.
Oh, you can get it in Greenville just fine. Yep.
And New Hampshire. And then all the way down through Belgrade Lakes and down below and all the way over to Rockland and the coast and down east. So pretty good area. We always like to talk to you and see how things are in your neck of the woods. And Matt, before we get going, I do want to tell folks how they can contact and get information about the Allegash Wilderness Waterway. You have a website. And your website is...
Yeah, there's actually a lot of good stuff on that website. There's a 7-part video series. There's a Google Earth program that shows it has a picture of every campsite, a short description of every campsite. There's a conditions and alert page on there. And it's maine.gov/Allegash. That's like maine.gov/Allegash. That'll get you to that website, and you can check out all the information we got on. There's actually a lot of information on there. If you're planning a trip, that video series is really, really pretty helpful.
And they also have a the topo map that has the whole Allegash Wilderness Waterway, all the little spots along the way.
Yeah, all the campsites are on there, canoe access spots. And
yeah, the key. That's very interesting to look at it and tells you even the canoe difficulty. Is that the dimensions on the canoes? Well,
that's actually the canoe dimensions. That's okay. The size. There's a rule. Most of the waterways, canoes only, and there's a little chart on there. It's the length to width ratio. So it kind of defines a canoe for by the rules.
The history of the Allegash Wilderness Waterway, when was it established as a protected, if you will?
Or? 1966, the legislature established the Allegash Wilderness Waterway, and it was funded half funded by the Maine voters. Like it was a very wide margin that it was approved by. I can't remember what the actual percentage was, but it was half funded from a bond issue from the Maine voters and half funded from the Land and Water Conservation Fund, which is the which is federal money. So it's like $3 million back in 1966.
Wow. And I mean, I've been to some of the different areas and locations throughout, but now, you've obviously, how many times have you gone through from stem to stern on the Wilderness Waterway?
In one trip? Never. I've been on a lot of it. I've been, the first time I went down was from Umzaskas Lake down, and that was in 1975. And then, and I made two trips in 75, and another one from Churchill, which is the halfway point. But never put in at the beginning. You know, I've been on all those headwater lakes with a boat before, and really don't want to paddle across them, even though I would. I've been on sections of them, you know.
You'd have to have a good fair weather stretch with a Bermuda high for about 7 days.
Sounds good.
how far is it from put in? Where was
from Telos Dam, which is where it begins, to the West Twin Brook is where the official end is. It's 92 miles.
92 miles. And I'm sure you get a lot of travelers that do that.
Yeah, most of them put in at Chamberlain Bridge, which is just up from Telos Dam. But it's still a pretty, you know, it's still an 80-mile canoe trip or so, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice, you know, it's a great canoe trip, but you can't find too many places in around where you can go on a week-long canoe trip and really never go by a store or a private camp or anything along the way. It's a forested shorelines, free flowing river, you know, native
campsites fish along the way.
That's one of the primary tasks of the rangers is to keep those campsites nice, and they take a lot of pride in them. They are pretty nice.
Yeah. And fishing along the way.
Yeah, there's a lot of good fishing spots, and we're coming right up on the good fishing season.
I've seen you hold some awful nice brook trout, yeah. Matt. And now, when's the best fishing? If you know, obviously it depends on how the water is and how the rains are, but typically, is there a time that's typically historically good?
Well, yeah, right after ice out, it's pretty hard to beat, and wherever the smelts have run.
Right,
they're all, you know, the game fish follow them in there, and they hang around by the mouths of these tributaries, and kind of that's actually usually the best fishing. It's especially that's for trolling, you know, streamers and lures and things. And of course, as we get into June, really the fly fishing picks up with the insect activity kind of starts coming. Then it's really good on the fly, and then it usually kind of wanes a little bit during the middle of the summer, and then fall. Although the last couple of years we've had hot, dry falls, it hasn't been quite as good. But some falls, is the whole month of September is good. But the last couple of years, it's really been boiled down to almost the last week.
Yeah.
I guess below the Allegash Falls, there's quite a population of muskies.
Yes,
apparently.
There is. Yeah, that's we don't really like muskies on the Allegash. We want to keep them below the Allegash Falls.
Yeah. Prospects for that look good?
Yes, I think that barrier is, we're keeping it under surveillance, if you will, and it's a good barrier. They're not getting up over there. Somebody's gonna have to bring them up over.
And you probably can't fish below that within so many yards of the dam.
Yeah, there's no.
That's an actual natural falls. You can fish right below it. Actually, it's a great place to catch muskie.
Oh, okay.
And that's not what people come to the Allegash for, to catch muskie.
Now I was looking at in this month's edition of the Northwoods Sporting Journal, the April issue. And you're in there with your grandson.
That's Sterling.
Sterling, and he's holding a smelt.
Yes.
Obviously, there's probably some pretty good areas to go to dip smelt.
Yes, but they're pretty hard to get to in the Allegash. I mean, it's like a duo. I mean, in that story, I talk about going there, and we end up bushwhacking into this brook. No smelts the first night, no smelts the second night. The third night, there was a bunch of jack smelts. And then after that, it ran black for a week after that, right in the middle of the daytime a lot of the days.
Wow. And then, but I mean, what's half gallon now?
It's two quarts now.
Two quarts? Yep. Okay.
Well, that's half a gallon. All right, we got it. Same.
Hit that one on the nose.
I was lucky on that one. I just guessed. So. Well, that been a long time since I've gone dipping smelts.
I like to get one good feed of smelts.
Mm. We used to go along the west branch of the Penobscot River.
That's a great place.
Down through Stacyville and through that way back when the—
I got them there many times.
Yeah. Old Ditz Carlstrom. We used to go there. Dad and Ditz Carlstrom was out of East Millinocket, and he knew where and when. And
I think they just reduced the limit there to one quart.
Yeah. And we used to do and have the lights, and you hear the guys coming, here they come, yelling.
I used to go netting at Cross Lake Thoroughfare, stream that's there, and also at Long Lake. And I guess some of the streams there now, you can no longer dip, but you can go watch the fish. And I went there one evening, and you could have walked across a stream on the amount of smells that were in that stream.
Now, other than Allegash Falls, any nice spots that you like to recommend for some good brook trout fishing?
Sure, I'll give you. I won't give you my favorite spot, but I will. I'll tell you a lot of good spots. I mean, like on Chamberlain Lake, the smelts run McNally Brook and Ellis Brook. I can remember the first year I worked on the Allegash, I'd never seen a togue. I went up on the campsite, and they had a 12-pound togue on the campsite.
Wow.
And I said, that was the biggest freshwater fish that I had ever seen at that point. Had, eyeballs as big as a dime, and I was pretty impressed with that. And, of course, where Allegash Stream comes into Chamberlain Lake, those were all great places, and those togue and trout will follow the smelts right into those brooks, and they'll hang around quite a while. There's a lot of smelts die and stuff when they spawn. Then on Eagle Lake, we got places like Russell Stream and Snare Brook and Smith Brook. Probably a lot of people are going to say, Matt, what are you telling them all my favorite spots for? But
telling and getting there and finding
two different things,
fishing the right lure the right way at the right time. Mm-hmm. That's you can't really do that. Even if you gave that information, there might be two guys that say, come on, let's go try it out.
Yeah. People have their places, right? They got the place that they know that they've been going to for years, and that's what, even up in the Allegash, some of these guys have been fishing the same places for years and years, and they've had luck, so they keep coming back.
Yeah. Now, you were talking earlier about, places to put in. What are some of the popular places to put in and do trips?
For a canoe trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the most popular spot is Churchill Dam, which is right in the center of the waterway. And from there down, it's mostly river. There's a couple smaller lakes to paddle through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about a 50-mile trip from Churchill Dam down through. And that's would be a five, probably plan on 5 nights to go down from Churchill. If you really wanted to paddle fast or the water was high, you could make it a little bit sooner than that. But if you want to do the whole trip, people put in at Chamberlain Bridge. So you'd paddle Chamberlain and Eagle and Churchill Lakes and then go down the river. So and also Umzaskis, that's like a shorter trip, but it's hardly any lake, mostly all river from there down.
Okay. And is there a time when you, recommend not going? I mean, where it would be considered dangerous? Obviously, early in the spring, you can't probably get up to a lot of these places because...
Well, if you go to that Maine.gov site that I talked about, Maine.gov/Allegash, we have a conditions and alert page on there. It'll tell you when it is dangerous. We will post that up there. But people come right when the ice is out, because they want to beat the bugs. They want to go, they want to fish and paddle at the same time. And, usually if you just drag a lure behind the canoe, you're going to catch plenty of fish right at ice out.
And I have the question. We were coming back from McCanimac, Haymock Lake, last spring. I ran into right at the Todd Weeks was at the Forestry Service place on the Pinkham Road.
Okay.
And there was a guy coming back, and he was picking up vehicles from folks that I presume were headed to the Allegash, and they were picking the vehicles up and driving them back up. How do you go about coordinating that? Obviously, there's some folks that do that because...
Yeah, there's several outfitters, some in Greenville, some in Millinocket, but there's quite a few on the north end up in Allagash and St. Francis that do that, and they're all listed in the North Main Woods website. It's at northmainwoods.org. They have all those outfitters listed there, and you can call two or three and get prices. And mm-hmm. But there's several choices you need to make. Like, you can have somebody bring your vehicle up for you, and then it's up there when you get there. Or this is what I recommend to a lot of people that are unfamiliar with driving around on those woods roads and getting lost and not having the right type of vehicle. If you don't have a you don't really want to go up there with a nice Volvo car. You want to have a pickup truck or something with some good clearance.
Right.
And what I tell those people that aren't familiar with, I say, you could drive to the town of Allagash on paved road and get in with it, stay overnight and get in with an outfitter and have them bring you into the drop-off spot, whether it be Churchill or Chamberlain or wherever it might be, and they drop you off. Your vehicle never goes on a gravel road, so you don't have any flat tires. If your vehicle has a weak point in it, it's going to come out on that trip to the Allagash. It usually does.
I know my father-in-law and brother-in-law had a flat tire on the way out last year.
Well, two flats. One flat's not too bad. Two flats is kind of bad.
Yeah, especially with one spare.
Right.
Yeah. Well, hey. Come that time of the show where we like to talk about one of our sponsors of the Maine Outdoors, General Appliance Services over on 91 Center Street in Brewer, and Al Elkin. Al has had quite a busy season. He's been to all the sportsman shows that I've been to, Orono, Presque Isle, Augusta. And he's had his unique line.
Yeah, that's propane.
Yeah,
he's fixtures,
got
yeah.
propane. He's got the stoves. He's got the heaters. He's got the lights.
Has he got those big lights? Those big lights. Everybody's bragging about those brand new gas lights that have come out. They say they're awesome. I don't know if he must have them. Obviously, he's in the business.
Oh yeah, he does.
He has them. Yeah. He services the old, the new. He's on the cutting edge, even though his hat's probably older than I am.
Gas or electric.
Yeah, he knows a good thing when he sees it. And that's one of his primary things that he does is services and anything gas appliance. And he also does the composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Thanks for being there for me, Jim. I knew you wouldn't let me down. But he has, obviously the appliances aspect of it has come a long way. And I know I always talk to people about it. I said our camp has all gas appliances, gas lights, gas heater. And if he doesn't know how to fix it, it's probably not fixable.
Probably not. He'll sell you a new one.
That's right. And, boy, I'll tell you what, if you have anything gas-related, or he does some electric.
He still does. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, you name it.
But that would be my advice if anybody's in the listening area and you have any need, call Al Elkin at General Appliance Center. He's at 91 Center Street in Brewer, and his phone number is 989-4341, 989-4341. That's General Appliance Services. Give him a call.
Nicest guy you'll ever talk to, and he's very, very affordable.
I concur. Well, I'm here talking with Matt LaRoche. He is the superintendent of the Allagash Wilderness Waterway. We've had an opportunity to talk about everything from canoe trips to fishing to smelting and dip netting and talking about the features of the Allagash Wilderness Waterway. And before anybody gets started, I talked a little bit with Matt before the show. Rumor will always have it that the National Monument that's located next to Baxter wants to expand, wants to be grab more than what they have. I shouldn't use the word grab. That wasn't very politically correct.
Acquire.
No, but it's true. It's true.
Acquire. But I did hear recently that their request to expand was turned down, as it were, by the powers that be, so that as far as I know, as far as Matt knows, there is no intention or motivation towards the Allagash Wilderness Waterway. So
that's great.
You can rest assured. And I intend to go up and do some. My brother has always been talking to me about wanting to do a portion of it. The trains.
Everybody wants to go to those trains. That's the most popular spot we have.
Well, you know, it's a fascination. What is the story behind the trains? How did they get there and where are they?
Well, you know, the trains were they were built to bring Allagash pulp, 4-foot wood, to the Great Northern Mills of Millinocket. So all the trees that were cut on Eagle Lake and Churchill Lake and even beyond it, they could haul with Lombard log haulers to Churchill Lake. They could float down to the trains, load them to the tramway area, load them on trains, and there's a 13-mile railroad that brought them into Umbazookas, which flows into the west branch of the Penobscot, and they could float that 4-foot wood right down to the mills of Millinocket. So that's why they came about. You know, what's more fascinating to me than the trains, even though the trains are impressive because they're so, I mean, people go there to say, wow, these things are huge.
Well, they're a physical presence.
Right. But the actual tramway was built in 1903, in a hauled long logs across the 3,000 feet, dumped them into Chamberlain Lake, and they reversed the flow of Chamberlain Lake by building Lock Dam and Telos Dam, and they would float them down the east branch of the Penobscot, right down to the Bangor sawmills at a time when there was no mechanization at all. It was all hand crews and horses. So it was quite a feat. All that stuff got brought in up Moosehead Lake into Greenville by train, up Moosehead Lake by steamboat, and then down the west branch of the Penobscot, both sides the west branch of the Penobscot, across Mud Pond Carry, up through Chamberlain Lake. I mean, that's quite a trip.
Didn't they have a drag line there going as well, run by steam?
Well, when you say dragline, I think you mean the actual tramway, which is instead of half cable with
the
little
cable,
with little things, little, we call them trucks, to hold the logs on the cable.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
I think, and that is a fascinating part of Maine, that the geography of it, of water that flows south towards the Atlantic Ocean, and then water that flows north.
St. John River.
Up through the St. John River, which eventually comes back down
Bay of Fundy.
Into the Bay of Fundy, which is, that's a long ways to go. And if you look at the water flow, you put a little rubber ducky in somewhere in the North Maine woods or the Allagash Wilderness Waterway and track that path that it takes to the ocean. It's around Robin Hood's barn and back again, isn't it?
Well, of course, back then they didn't. I mean, the American interest wanted those logs in Bangor. They didn't want them going to Canada because you'd lose control of the wood once it went across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the St. John is, everything dumps in the St. John. That comes out in St. John, New Brunswick, does it?
Correct, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and that's the way that a lot of it goes, and that's when I was involved with the Atlantic Salmon for Northern Maine. You know, they'd get, I don't know how many 20s and thousands of eggs for salmon and raise them and then release them at different spots. They'd go out through the ocean, and coming back again, they had to run the gauntlet in New Brunswick between the three dams, I believe, they had over there, plus the netting and
Grand Falls, I guess.
Mac-Crack, Miramichi.
Right.
All those dams.
And I watched how they would do that. Up on the Restigouche, and they would stagger the nets out into the river, and that, you know, it would be on the left side of the river, halfway out into the river, and then there'd be another net on the opposite side that ran halfway out to the river, and then they'd stagger that left, right, all the way up the river, where you had to have a pretty smart fish to swim the S through those nets and not get caught. But that's a story for another night. But
I've got a good question for you. I grew up in Dickey in the Allagash.
You did.
Area.
Congratulations
to
you.
When I say I grew up, in Aroostook County, but fished there a lot, almost every weekend and during the summers. My uncle married one of the Kellys from up there. That's one of the reasons. Jack Kelly's right there at the end of the Little Black River. My question is, we used to run the Little Black and some of those up to Hafey Lake with motors on our canoes. And we'd pole sometimes, but mostly motor. Can you still do that today?
Well, I'm not that familiar with the Little Black, to tell you the truth, but there's still, we allow motors on the Allagash, on most of it. Allagash Lake and Allagash Stream, there's no motors allowed at all. But on those Allagashers, moose towners, they like to be called.
Yep.
They run up and down the river with the canoe and motor, I mean, all the time. And I actually
have under a certain horsepower.
Yes, not over 10. So you can not you, over you, 10. A lot okay. of 9.9s on that river.
Right, and, I bet.
And I actually have my ranger at Mitchell Farm, Trevor O'Leary. He grew up in the town of Allagash, and he's pretty darn good at going up down that river. They've been doing it for generations there.
Right.
What is so special, in your words, about the Allagash Wilderness Waterway? What makes the Allagash Wilderness Waterway so unique?
Well, I think it is really one of the jewels of Maine. And if you haven't done the Allagash, you should make a plan to do it, because it's like, when I go around to these shows and things, nobody ever says, "Oh, I don't want to do the I don't want to canoe the Allagash." Everybody comes up to you and says, "I want to." If they've done it, they want to do it again, or if they haven't done it, they want to do it the first time. You know, it's just miles and miles of free flowing river. It's got the headwater lakes with unbroken shorelines. It's actually managed to part of our job is to enhance the wilderness character whenever we can. So we go out of our way to try to promote a wilderness experience.
Keep it underdeveloped.
Keep it under a minute and a half.
And so anyway, it's got great fishing for native trout and togue and whitefish, and it's just an opportunity. You know, your cell phone and no internet service doesn't work, so you might as well, unless you want to use your phone for a camera, you might as well leave it in your car. And that's actually important in today's, the way we're going. I think that's actually very important that people can do that.
Now, do you have any projects going on this summer you want to make folks aware of?
Yes, we do. We're actually replacing the bog bridge on the Portage Trail at Allagash Falls, and we could use a hand with that if somebody wanted to volunteer. Actually, Robbins Lumber and Viking Lumber donated some siding to reside the bottom portion of the boarding house at Churchill Depot. We're planning on doing that this summer, and there is something else. We got an ongoing,
Is there a way they can contact you if they'd like to volunteer?
I can leave my phone number and email address. It's 695-3721, and that's extension 3, 695-3721, extension 3, or just matt.laroche@maine.gov.
Okay.
Send me an email. We can set you up with something.
And that way, if there's anybody interested in volunteering for any of the projects that you need help with along the way this summer or along the lines of helping out with the campsites and so forth.
I did have a couple things I wanted to bring. We got enough time? No more time.
No, we're down to about 15 seconds.
All right.
Well, I want to thank you for coming by today. I appreciate you taking the trip and coming to see us and talking about the Allagash Wilderness Waterway. It's very special, and I know that you'll be back because we're never tired of talking about fishing here on the Maine Outdoors.
The fishing and hunting.
Well, rumor has it V. Paul Reynolds will be back again.
All right.
For tonight, it's Jim Thorne signing out. And join us right here next week on
the Maine Outdoors.